Well, I apologize. I'm going to have more hymn sings. All right? That was good. I enjoyed that. And it seemed to mean a lot to you. And Henry, let me turn on this little device here. There we go. We'll have the electrical. These last 2 days, I've had to do some things that I was not trained for. Last night, I conducted an orchestra of the community college, one piece, but it was a long piece. I wasn't trained to do that. I mean, I had conducting classes. That's not my thing. I'm an oboe player. That's what I do. I'm more accustomed to do that. I know you've done jobs you're not really accustomed to do, and you do your best. Yeah. But I wasn't trained for that. I'm also not trained to be a pastor. I was on the other side of campus in seminary, and the preacher boys were over there, and we were over here, and never the twain should meet. But nevertheless, God gives us, as believers in Christ, the ability to speak God's truth. You don't have to have a theological degree, but you do have to have an ear to listen and to listen to God talk. I have a very different task than our pastor. I am not your pastor. I'm an elder. My task is different in that I just do this every now and then. So I might step on some toes. I'm sorry. The types of preaching that I like to do is directly related to what I see. So shoot me. It's okay. Yeah, as they say in baseball, I call them as I see them. And so that's what I might say today. I call as I see it. I appreciate the prayers that we had. Kimberly made a really one that really, I think she peeked over and looked at my sermon. She must have, because I praise God for a fellowship where believing in Christ is the most important thing. That is our foundation, and we don't want to have any cracks in our foundation. And so we're going to be talking about today our fellowship and membership. It said the church should be less like a cruise ship and more like a battleship. A fellow named Ken Sand of Peacekeepers Ministries said this. Rather than emphasizing casual atmosphere and fun activities, he says it's time for churches to raise the bar, to focus on a serious mission, and ensure that every person aboard this ship serves in a vital function. To make the shift, he says that we must recapture the importance and meaning of church membership. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Church membership. We are to be involved in fellowship and membership at our local church, this church, or whatever church you happen to be at. Japan has churches too, and God lives in Japan too. God's right over there too. So they will be seeking a church and church membership. I know they will. We, as members of Cornerstone, are part of a fellowship. Now, you may be visiting here. That's fine. But with that fellowship, we declare that we have love and concern for each other's. By being part of a fellowship, we should be committed to each other and working together and being a part of that fellowship. There are many things to do in this fellowship. Many things. And you are not just invited to participate. You are commanded to participate. It's not my idea. Being a Christian is not a sideline activity. It is here that we don't have any options. There are a myriad of things and opportunities. Some have a spotlight, pastor, teachers. Some are not, but all are part of the body, aren't they? All are things, the arms, the feet, the eyes, the ears of the body of Christ. Now, let's ask a question. What is a church? What is a church? Well, let's talk about what's not a church. It's not a loose affiliation of believers, like a religious club. It's not a religious club. It's not a building. We know that. That's not even our building anyway. It's not a building. It's not a nonprofit organization or a philanthropic organization that does good. I'm reminded of a movie where of do-gooders or it's not just doing good. What is a church? A church is people who give evidence that they have been saved by God's grace for His glory alone through faith alone. And people committed to Christ and to each other through service to God and service to each other. So, service to God, service to each other. And we give evidence of that through our faith in Christ. That is what a church is. Those are the basic definitions. Now, what is church membership? Church membership is for believers in Christ only. It's for believers in Christ only. It's not for people who are not believers. We, at this church, more than any other church that I've seen, have taken that to be more important. Our pastor is adamant about having a very lengthy membership process. I have not seen quite a lengthy membership process. But it's there to ensure that the people in this fellowship are believers in Christ. What happens when you have people in a fellowship that are not believers in Christ? They can get into ministries like teaching, and they can teach heresies, and then the church falls apart. I've seen it before. You probably have too, where people are in church, are in teaching ministries, or heaven forbid, preaching ministries that are not believers in Christ, and then they sow the seeds of Satan, period. They sow the seeds in Satan. It's not for those who just give simple, yes, I believe in God, or yes, I believe in Christ. It's for people that have an evidence of an increasing is the word, devotion and service to God. If you're not increasing in your devotion and service to God, you better look. You better look. That is what we're required to do. It's an evidence of our character and relationship to God. And it reflects the holiness of God. This is where the teaching ministries of the church, I've always thought that teaching ministries are really important. Really important. They are important for us. They are important for our families. That's where it starts with our families and the teaching ministries. Our Sunday school is a direct relationship to that. That's why that I talk about it from this pulpit more times in a month than you probably want to hear about how important Sunday school is for ourselves, for our families, and for our lives in Christ and our eventual heavenly. I want to be asked questions in heaven that I don't know. All right, I'm perfectly blunt about it. I want to know these questions. Look, church membership is biblical. I'm going to say it again. Church membership is biblical. Now, by becoming a member of a church, we declare publicly our commitment to one another and place ourselves under the care and discipline of the church. Under the care and discipline of the church. So you say, there's nothing in the Bible about church membership. Well, you're wrong. There is plenty in the Bible about church membership. I was listening to Fox News, and they do some things good and some not. And there's a fellow on there with a new book that was talking about how Jesus didn't really die on the cross. And all right, sure, yeah. It's the old, what they call it, pseudepigraphia, the false writings and all that stuff. He said, Christ never said he was Messiah. Well, you fool. Of course he said he's Messiah. You just don't know how to listen properly. He said he's Messiah many times. The great I am statement, for one. Our pastor can talk about that. Well, that is in similar fashion, our church membership is mentioned, and I'm going to show you, all right, how church membership is mentioned. It's scriptural. It's scriptural. Look, we have a pastor. Is he your pastor? No, not if you're not a member. He's not your pastor. I'm an elder. Am I your elder? No, not if you're not a member. I'm the elder of people who are members, and our pastor is a pastor of people who are members of our fellowship. Why? Why? Because with membership comes responsibilities. A pastor and the elders are not biblically responsible for those who are not members. We can't be. not biblically responsible for those who are not members. We, you know, pastor helps many people. I try in small ways. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with helping people who are not members. Not a problem. With concern and compassion as part of the fellowship. But without your commitment as a member, there's no way that church leadership can stand with you in the biblical sense. There's no way. Look, several times in the book of Acts, and the Acts we know talks about the early church, the Lord, quote, the Lord added to their number daily. The church in the early church kept track, obviously. They noticed people were, well, there's more people here. There's less room in this room. We have to go get a bigger room. The number of people was looked at. And not that we have to talk about numbers. I've never said that, and our pastor doesn't talk about that. In fact, this church has a charter. If it gets a certain size, this church has to split. So this church will never get huge. That's part of our own charter. Other places in Acts reaffirm the first century practice of adding to the number. Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. That's because of good teaching, folks. Good teaching and preaching and people adding and the Holy Spirit being a part of that fellowship. People were added to the fellowship because that's what God does. That's what God does. So someone in this early church was keeping track. Maybe the people that had to put out seats for people. Maybe the people had to dish out food for people. That's fine, too. It's an obvious thing that things were getting fuller. So this was a fellowship, and this is a fellowship that is bound together in Christ, and a fellowship that has responsibilities and requirements. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. I'll go ahead and read the entire passage. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. We just did that. That was great, wasn't it? And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And the 17th verse, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. The clue here is, as men who must give account. Who are they talking about? They are talking about the church leaders. They must give account, not for people just walking through the park that happen to be Christians that day, but they're giving account for people who are members of that fellowship. They can't account for people who just stroll through. Accountability with membership becomes accountability. That's not a burden. That's a good thing. So the only way for this to be the case is that these people mentioned are part of a fellowship of believers that met in that place in the early church. Being a Christian now is really cool because we have such a great, rich history of people who did the same thing a long time ago. Same things were talked about. Our scripture has not changed and will not change. Everything that's written down that we need to know is there. The same thing that they saw and that they heard through word of mouth, through the disciples, through the apostles that happened to be back then. We don't have those people, but we have the writings of Christ, the writings of God in this book that talked about that. Now, concerning proof of membership, let me give you another one. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to skip around in the fifth chapter. This is a story that the sin was this. Let me read the first verse. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. All right, that's the problem right there. And the fourth verse, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And the seventh verse, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that thing that makes bread rise, of course, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed to us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity of truth. And the 11th verse, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, who is sexually immoral, covetous, idolater, or a reviler, drunkard, or extortioner, not even eat with such a person. 12th verse, for what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside the fellowship? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. So, as believers in Christ, we are responsible for each other on the inside, in our fellowship. We can have responsibility. In fact, it's your duty to have responsibility for each other, not just the pastor, not just the elders. It is your duty to have responsibility for each other. We love each other. We're supposed to. And that's why we're responsible for each other. It's important. So, this putting away from the fellowship referred to a person who was a member of that fellowship that was living a lie and boasting about it. That's what the scripture said, not my words. He was to be put out of the fellowship. He was a cancer that was causing the fellowship to be heretical, to have teachings that were not in accordance with the scripture, to have sin that was obviously not in accordance with what was important. This is an instance of, obviously, of church discipline. You can't discipline someone who is not on the inside. You cannot, a church cannot discipline someone who's on the outside. Can't be done. It's not scriptural. There's no basis for it. Okay, and again, there's another scripture that talks about joining the disciples in the early church. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And then in 31. 26, and when Saul, remember Saul is going to become Paul later, but this is when he was Saul, S-A-U-L, he had come to Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. This guy was persecuting the saints for years. I mean, bad persecuting, killing people, putting people in prison, their families, themselves. So, oh, yes, they were afraid of him, this Saul, who was the Jew of Jews, wasn't he? So, so Saul wanted to be a part of this group of disciples. He had to, I guess in some ways, live with them a little bit to prove he could be one of them, that he wasn't just going to turn them in. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. Again, I say this, and walking in the fear of the Lord, that they were multiplied. This is how the church was multiplied. So the implication is obvious. Saul knew who these people were already. They were disciples, but Saul wanted to be counted as one of their number, and they were afraid of him, what he could do to them. Now, membership requires commitment. Are you afraid of commitment? That's what membership's all about. Church membership requires commitment that many people are not willing to make. Church membership is not a concept that creates bondage. It's not an odious thing on a group of people. In fact, the other way around, church membership provides protection and freedom by allowing the members to function in a way that upholds biblical values. Accountability, we're accountable to each other. We have opportunities with each other. And responsibility, these concepts are rooted in biblical revelation and can be talked about in the terms of church membership. Sorry. When a person fails to join a church in membership, he is denying the use of his God-given gifts and abilities to the local church. So when a person fails to join a church, he is denying his use of God-given gifts and abilities. Does God give only spiritual gifts to a few people? No. God gives spiritual gifts to all of us. We have different spiritual gifts, because we're different parts of the body. Great. Fine. That's why we're a fellowship. We all have something we do well. You don't want me to be cooking, all right? You don't want me to do certain things. Same with you. Maybe you shouldn't preach. Fine. That's fine. That's one of the spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about those a little later. He gives all of us spiritual gifts for his glory. For his glory and edification of the saints, his brethren. So what are your gifts? I'm not going to tell you. You have to find out for yourselves through God's guidance. Now, guidance. There are teaching gifts. We know that. We need teachers for our children's ministries. We need teachers. There are gifts of organization. We need people. We don't have a treasurer. We're not, almost not have a treasurer. We don't have one at this point for treasurer. My son would be possible, but he can't. He's a member, but he can't sign checks or anything, but he could do some of the business work. I don't know. You know, we're running out of opportunities. But it takes a member to do that. It has to be a member. Gifts of discipleship, gifts of the caring ministries, hospitality, etc. I mean, we have hospitality, great. That's an all important thing. There's no gifts that are more important than the other. There are many people in this church and other churches who do not use their spiritual gifts. All right? You're not using your spiritual gifts. A Christian who does not use their God-given spiritual gifts is not at all a part of the fellowship, even despite their membership. If you're not using your spiritual gifts, you are not really a part of this fellowship. Because a true member and a member of a fellowship uses the gifts that God gave them. You don't want to put it under a bushel or a lampstand and people not being able to see it. It's important. When a person joins a fellowship, a church, he has gifts that the body needs. Not only the church need him, but others in the body need him. And he's needed by other people in the body. We can all add to each other in fellowship. So let me be blunt, if I haven't already been. We all should be using our gifts and doing things and easing the burden of each other by contributing to the welfare of the body. Church membership says, I'll serve. That's what church membership says. I'll serve. In the military, which you know I was part of for 20 years, we took an oath to serve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I can go on, I think. Well, it's not really that different from being a member in a church. We take our oath of allegiance to our commander-in-chief, which is God. Is our commander-in-chief. We take that oath of allegiance to him, right? Sure. And so our church membership says that we will serve God in this place, just as my oath of allegiance to the Constitution, to the United States Army, said I would give my full duty to them. We, as members of this body, we are obligated to defend our fellowship from the arrows of Satan. And nobody has to tell me, and nobody has to tell you that Satan doesn't have arrows. You know his quiver is real full, don't you? And those arrows shoot out. Now, in the military, there are benefits that I receive. Still, I'm retired. I like these benefits. Retirement benefits are good things. I continue to receive them because I was a member of the military. Believe me, I really was. And pushed up mud and the whole bit. I receive them because of my membership and my service. Likewise, in the church, we receive the benefits that God has for us. We are not spectators on the sidelines, but we are warriors. We are warriors. Honor Christian soldiers. A lot of churches don't like to sing that. We sang it today. We're warriors for Christ, aren't we? If you don't think there's a battle, then somebody needs to shake you upside the head, because we are in a battle. Some of these benefits are due to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As a believer, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and indwells us and allows us. I couldn't be up here except for the Holy Spirit. No way. Couldn't do it. Not on my own. The Holy Spirit gives us that ability to go beyond anything we could do ourselves. Anything. Don't worry. God has you under his wing. We sang about it. God will take care of you. The Holy Spirit is that part of God that empowers us. The gifts that God gives are intended to edify the saints. That's what they're intended to do. You'll find a place to edify the saints in the church. That's where we edify the saints. The saints are gathered. You're saints. Okay? That's what you are. You're saints if you're a believer in Christ. And the place to edify the saints is the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 says, "But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Spiritual gifts are intended to operate in the context of the local church. Spiritual gifts are intended to operate in the context of the local church and church membership. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Minister it to one another. In other words, your fellows here, we minister to each other. Spiritual gifts operate best in the context of the local church. Just now, what are spiritual gifts? Let's just think of them. Ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, all are part of the local church, right? I don't think they can really be a part of anything else. Motivational or practical gifts, service, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, helps, administration, all are part of the local church. And the secondary gifts, as mentioned in Scripture, the spiritual gifts, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, faith, healing, and miracles. Important gifts, but not as critical as the first two in the church. So they talk about the lesser gifts is what it's talking about in Scripture, but still are best used in the local church. Ephesians 4, chapter 12, declares that the members of the church are to be equipped for service. Only true members are issued all the equipment for service. While anyone can go out and tell and carry out the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Amen." The key point in this scripture is teaching. That's one of the spiritual gifts, isn't it? We need teachers. Teachers are exercising one of the spiritual gifts. And the spiritual gifts are used in the context of the local church. This church, Cornerstone Evangelical Free Church, needs teachers. We in this church want to have members that are in the teaching ministry. Teaching ministry has to have members in it. That's our goal, to have members who are part of teachers, part of the membership. And teachers are part of the membership. All right. When one is not a member of the fellowship, he does himself and God a disservice. For membership in the local body is biblical. The body suffers when all are not using their gifts as God intended. You know your gifts by talking to God about it. He'll help you find your gifts. And it's between you and God. That's one thing great. There's not a king. There's not a pope. It's between you and God. Time is short. Time is short. The fields are ripe unto harvest. There are people dying and going to hell. The time is short. We don't have to be missionaries to other countries. There's plenty to do here. Plenty to do. We have other countries sending missionaries to us now. You know that? That's sad. What you do here and now will impact others in the near and future. It will affect your children first, others later around you. So what you do in the fellowship affects your children first and others around you later. So make a positive impact now before it's too late. Too often, folks come to church to be blessed and not to bless others. The reason we come to church is not to be blessed, but to bless others. That's why we're here. You should be careful about expecting to get something out of church. If you're here to just get something out of church, go to the mall. You'll get a lot more. We get out of worship and fellowship what we put into it. And finally, take membership seriously. We need fellow workers in this battle. The battleship needs you. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the time to come and worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you for the workers you provided, but the fields are ripe unto harvest. We ask you to convict those around us who are not members to become members, but we also ask you to help us understand that we have an obligation to each other in love and spirit and through this Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gifts you've given each other and given each of us, that we can help each other. We ask your special blessing upon each one here and the safe traveling they'll have later. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our Teacher, amen.